And I'll ask you to, I'll call the meeting to order first. It is, it's 5:16 and ask you to keep the flag, rise please. To the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. So in terms of the role, Adam, you're here. Mike, you're here. Kathy, you're here.
Yes.
I'm here. So we have a full board, full vote. And we'll go right into the approval of the meeting of the March 5th special meeting minutes. Has everybody had a chance to look at that?
Yes.
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 Does anybody have it? Will somebody make a motion?
I'll make a motion that we accept the special meeting minutes of March 5, 2020.
I'll second that.
Okay. Kathy. Discussion on the minutes. I think the only thing that I would say is that we needed to add Joan. She was also present. Joan Kaiser was present and gave a report. So I make a motion that we accept. Are you in?
I hear you.
Without the phone? Okay, all right, I'm gonna hang up then. All right, Ellen says she's in. She can hear.
All right,
so I'm gonna make a motion that we accept the minutes as written with the codicil that we add Joan Kaiser to the under present. Do I have a second?
I'll make a second.
Okay. Discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion carries. Kathy, can you take the minutes for me?
Sure.
The meeting's gonna be recorded, so you could go back. The meeting's being recorded, so you can just go back and not have to worry about that.
Okay, all good. Right. Thank you. I'll do just it anyways, Lynn. I'll go back and do it from that if you want.
Thanks.
Ellen, you have to unmute your phone or your computer if you want to speak. She's muted. I'm trying to unmute her, but I can't.
Is she on the computer?
She's on the computer. She said that she had volume. She had audio, so I hung up.
Okay. So she could run her mouse right over the little microphone that has the line through it, and it will come right back on. Ellen, are you there?
Ellen, can you hear us?
I'm here.
Okay. All right. So we're going to move then to old business and the report from Ken Schultz. You all have had a copy of his written report. Does anybody have questions? I'm going to ask Ken to go through the report. And then you can ask your questions. Ken?
Okay, thank you. I'll try to be brief. I know you got a lot on your agenda, but I'll be happy to answer any questions you have. So first of all, nice to see you all virtually. I hope everyone's doing okay through all of this here. I can report that, we've weathered it quite well and the program's in good shape in terms of, adjusting to what is the new normal for a while. I've been providing updates. I think there's a couple that I had sent out, so I'm not going to repeat all of that. But there's been a lot of activity, a lot of HUD meetings. They've provided a lot of adjustments to just account for the situation that we're in. Basically we continue to make progress despite all the challenges that we're confronted with, that everyone's confronted with. In terms of the recertifications and all that and responding to landlords and tenants, everything's, I think, in really good shape. And I think that the phone calls have died down. So the specifics that I provided in the report that I sent for this month are more recent. And I'll just kind of keep my comments to that, but I just wanted to report the good news that the VOSH vouchers are completely enrolled. Those are the ones that were set aside for veterans. So we had the last veteran lease up on June 1st. So that's nice to have that set aside funding completely enrolled for the folks that it was intended for. We continue to work, you know, directly with Laura on the FSS program. We've been meeting with her regularly before this happened, and through the phone and email as best we can. And so we've kind of working on what the escrow amounts have to be, the forfeitures, and she just sent me an email. I think she was on the call earlier today on activity that's going on. So I think things continue to go positively there. And I think Laura is appreciative of just, you know, being able to respond to some of her questions. And I think we've got a good working relationship. I just wanted to say that the file cleanup and re-exams is continuing to go well. And we continue to play catch up on that. And I think, you know, it'll take us a while, but we continue to get to where, you know, we want to be, to, which is a better place. The June check run went without a hitch, you know, thanks to Ellen and all of her help and Janet. You know, we get the checks about the first, second of the month. So I think the landlords are appreciative of that. And, you know, don't want to take that lightly because it's such a big part of what expectations are now. We're also working on testing the ability to direct deposit for landlords. I know there's been requests on that, and we think we're close to being in a position to offer it through Webster Bank. And I know a lot of the program landlords are appreciative of that, especially during this time. I put a long response on something that HUD reached out to us for, and I'll give the shortened version of it in my markup. But basically, you know, as I reported to you, I think the last meeting that I was at, we talked a bit about changing the admin plan so that folks could have the option of moving outside of Derby, and why that was important because of the large funding level that we had, and you know, making sure that we utilized the money that was available. So they were just asking about why were the program reserves so large, and HUD sent an email, and I responded with, and you know, basically in the update, all the details of what we provided to them, as well as a spreadsheet. What has happened with the pandemic is, you know, a lot of people lost jobs, and the average payment that we make out on behalf of participants in the Derby Housing Authority went up like $20-$30 per payment. So basically, a lot of the plans that we had on pushing to make enrollment to where using money are not necessarily going to be the case now, because you know, what we have done is basically utilize the funding for this year, as well as starting to dip into the program reserves. And it's important. That's why HUD was asking, is that the program reserves were getting pretty high, and they don't necessarily need to be that high. They should be, you know, maybe a fraction of the program's annual budget authority. So it's all good news. HUD was satisfied with the answer. You know, when I mentioned that the board had been briefed and approved, have the ability to kind of use portability outside for those vouchers that were issued. So I'll be happy to answer any questions on that, but we will still have to do some issuing, but it won't be on the level that we had to. And we will, you know, the way I explained to you last time was the less money you spend, the less money you get the next year. It's kind of a downward spiral. So the name of the game is to try to spend as much money as they make available in the current year, and then use a responsible amount of the program reserves, which ensures you more money the next year so that you can help more people. The last thing just to share is that, you know, we are working on the previously past due PHA plan. It's a bit of a project. It's, you know, a lot of housing authorities will contract out for that. We're going to be able to do that in-house as part of our arrangement. And Maria expects that we'll have something to Linda and Ellen in the next 1 to 2 weeks that you can review. And once we get your authorization on the plan, the way we've drafted it and the changes, we can send it to HUD, and that'll play catch up on some of the past due requirements that HUD was looking for. So I'll stop there. I'd be happy to expand on anything if anybody's got any questions.
Questions, anyone?
Yes, Ken, I don't know if you can hear me. This is Joan, the resident service coordinator.
Yes, Joan, I can hear you fine.
I just want to tell you, you know, the residents all got that letter saying they didn't get their information. and they had it. It went down as a computer error. But I just want to tell you, Emma has been delightful to deal with. I've talked to her many days. I think she must cringe when she hears that it's me. But she's been terrific.
Well, thank you for sharing that. Emma's great. We love her. She's an asset to our organization. Thank you.
Sure. Any other questions or comments for Ken?
So Ken, am I right in understanding that because there's less money for the residents, we have to put out more because of them, their jobs being affected? But for us to put out more in the long run is good because it brings our reserves down? Is that, am I understanding
correct
that?
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Because their loss of income, the amount of assistance has gone up, and that was really one of the goals, I think, for your program is to get to a better place, is make sure that you're spending all of this year's money and starting to dip into the reserves. Yeah, so it's all good.
All right, good. Thank you.
Any other questions? Ken, thank you so much. You're welcome to stay. I know that we're going to be talking about Imagineers under new business. Welcome to stay, or you're welcome to go, whatever your pleasure.
Okay. Well, I'll take this opportunity to leave the meeting and just thank you. I see on the agenda, and I appreciate it. We're really excited about a relationship to kind of help continue to improve on the program and make sure we're following the board's guidance on, you know, what you want to see done going forward.
Thank you, Ken.
Okay.
Thank you.
Have a good meeting,
Ken.
Everybody.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right. Joan, you're up.
Oh, I'm up.
Everybody got a copy of your report. Are there things that you would like to talk about that are in your report before I open it up to questions?
No, I think everything is, you know, we're just waiting to see, you know, when to go back. Most, we have a listserv for Karsh, and many of the resident service coordinators have been in the office through everything. Just with a closed office, but just doing paperwork, a meeting one-on-one. I'd say about 60% have been working from home. So, you know, gradually we're looking to see what the CDC and, you know, what the state is recommending. I've been going in a little bit last week, and I'm going in tomorrow. We have the Monica is going to come from Griffin Hospital to do the two blood pressure clinics. That's Diger and Guardiano. And I met up appointments every 5 minutes, and she's going to sanitize in between each one, and they'll come in kind of one at a time. Or the community rooms can hold 2 to 3 with good social distancing. So that's kind of a bright light of something, you know, getting a little bit back to normal. So other than that, with the big issues that are coming up now with the rental rebate, that, you know, everyone wants to be the first one to apply, even though the program goes through September 30th, and no applications get, you know, transmitted to OPM until then. But, you know, that they've been calling me all weekend. So,
John,
and the other thing that comes down the pike is the farmers market coupons. So, other than the normal day-to-day, those are just the two things that are on top of their residents' minds.
Joan, what is that rental rebate? I had written a note to ask about that. What is that?
The rental rebate is a state of Connecticut program that anyone that is disabled, 60 and over, or 65 and over, can apply, and it's an equation between your income and the rent you pay, plus utilities, gas, electric, any heating, not telephone or cable. And there's a formula, and depending on what your income is and what you've spent, you get back a certain amount of money. You can get up to $700 a month back. It's $700. It's a one-shot deal.
Yeah.
The checks go out the third to fourth week of October every year. So for the residents, it's their Christmas club.
Right. Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. We're
one of the only states that has a program like that. And it's never made a lot of sense to a lot of us, because especially for the residents that are in subsidized units already, you know, but, you know, it's something the state approves. They vote on it in April and it gets approved. So. It's, you know, it's just a paperwork process, and I've been communicating with Lauren, who is in City Hall in the assessor's office. The program is run through the local assessor's office to OPM in Hartford, and, you know, we'll work together to make sure everyone that qualifies gets, you know, their application in on time. But they have 4 full months, so, yeah.
Thank you.
Sure.
I'm glad that you're feeling better, Joan.
Oh, thank you so much. I have my bracelet on.
Oh, good.
I love good. It. Thank you. I am. I was very fortunate to have a mild case. So, yeah, thank you.
We're pleased to have you back. And while we have you on the phone and Mike as well, I know one of the things that both of you have discussed with me are the issues that the residents are raising in terms of expectations for safety, mask wearing, who can come in the apartment. Back in the beginning, Joan put out some of the CDC guidelines that recommended you didn't have people in your house, that you social distance, that kind of thing. And now they're policing each other. And at times it gets a little testy. And you know, people want to know, well, my hairdresser's going to come and cut my hair. What are you going to do about it? You know, I get complaints all the time because Steiger's not wearing their mask. Most folks over there are not wearing their masks. So I think what the message needs to be, and Mike, correct me if I'm wrong, don't correct me if I'm wrong, is that, you know, we're not here to be the police. We can make suggestions. We want to keep people safe. We've been really blessed in that none of our residents have come down with it. And I worry because, you know, some of the community rooms are much more active with visitors than, you know, with residents than others. And I'm so worried that if one got it, it would go through quite a bit. So getting the message out that, you know, you should be wearing your mask, you should use common sense when you let people in your house, but we're not the police and we're not going to be out there watching who's going where.
Right. So I put on the listserv, you know, some suggestions because it's been in the newsletter reinforcing, but the last, Monday or Tuesday, Monday at Guardiano, some of the residents were very, you know, point blank. They wanted another notice. They wanted exact what happens, blah, 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 blah. You know, they're all very busy watching everyone. So, you know, I tried to tell them we're not a police state. You know, we don't have security. It's up to everyone's. We can tell you what is recommended, what the guidelines should be. But, you know, so I have multiple different samples that other RSCs have used. That I'll work on putting something out again. They want a one sheet distributed to everybody. So I will work on that and do it for the three sites. I'll run it by you guys before I send it out.
Great. Okay, anything else, anybody?
Yeah, Joan, Bob Lisi, just you mentioned the gift of food from AOASCC. What is that organization?
Oh, that's the Agency on Aging of South Central Connecticut. That's our, we fall within that geography. You know, there's 5 agencies on aging in Connecticut, and we're part of South Central. So Tom Davis is one of the guys I had worked with when I worked at the agency, and he remembered I worked in Derby, and he had got this wonderful grant, and we were able to do 19 $100 gift deliveries of food.
Joan, just one other question. Has the food issue become stabilized somewhat?
I don't know that it's really ever been terribly shorthanded, Bob, because when I was calling, I was going by low income, working my way up with the lowest income people I called first to offer them that. Many of them said, you know, we got so much more money in our SNAP program. We don't have room for any more. I got quite a few people that did not have any need for food.
Thank you.
Which is good news, you know, then, and also working with Remy, she's going to try to do the bag approach again, possibly within another month, where we'll again target at the lowest income people at the 3 properties.
Thank you.
Sure. Thank you, Joan. You're welcome.
We are very fortunate to have you and all of your connections, because I think a lot of this is something that our residents weren't used to getting or hadn't heard about before. So I want to thank you. Make sure you realize how important I know that all of these services are, and we're lucky that you have all these contacts.
Oh, Oh, thanks. Well, Tom is terrific. He's just incredible. He gets more done in a day than most people get in a month. So he's a good contact to have. And the Agency on Aging is available for anyone to call. They're the, you know, the 211 of Medicare in our area.
I use them a lot when my mother was sick. They were my go-to. And they also helped my dad with his wife with Alzheimer's. They were wonderful.
Yeah, they do a great job. They have a lot of funds funneled through them, and that's what they're there for. So, good.
Joan, I just have one other question. In your report to us, you mentioned that working from home was difficult because you didn't have access to the files of the residents. And I wondered if this is something down the road, that if there's a possibility that we could have electronic files so that it could be accessible by you and by Ellen at you know, remote locations. Is that something we could think about, or?
Yeah, that would be great. But were you thinking microfiching them?
Well, I mean, coming from the perspective of a school system, I know that we just recently got for our nurses, we have like a remote software that all of the students' information is in, so that instead of when they go on a class trip, everybody has to take files of kids that have asthma and what allergies, who has what. They have a remote, it's like accessible through our power school, that they can get all of the students' information, their contact, their emergency numbers and all of that. And I was just wondering if there's some kind of a database that is usable by housing departments for specifically resident service coordinators, that it would be something you could just open up your computer and go into a database. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I know the American Association of Resident Service Coordinators does have software that many companies have subscribe to. It's pretty pricey. Not an awful lot have done it, and it's really geared more towards doing the HUD reports that are required. Now, the kind of paperwork that I'm missing is, you know, did they send in their MSP? Did they send in their SNAP? And those are very cumbersome applications. I don't know, you know, how easy it would be. I think doing just, you know, addresses, contact, emergency contact, that could easily be done in a database. But
you could actually set up a Google database.
When did they apply? Did they get everything in? You know, just all the different program stuff is what, you know, I would be missing. So now my kitchen looks like a tornado hit it. I got lots of files.
I'm just trying to think ahead because, and we don't know. No one really knows, but there's conversations about the winter time possibly having a resurgence, and I would like to see that. You know, that we can get you prepared for the possibility of having to work remotely from home again.
Good point.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I can reach out, Kathy, and see if, you know, what other people do. That's a good point. I don't know what's available, but only because I haven't asked, so I certainly can.
Yeah, and it might be a conversation now, not just for us, but for many housing agencies that have experienced this. Maybe there's even an opportunity to get a discounted rate, or maybe they're setting something up that can be used, you know, that doesn't cost anything that, you know, the housing departments can use, so.
Yeah, I think one thing I learned last month on the monthly meeting was what a lot of people did was they had that app on their phone, so it disguised their phone number.
Yeah, yeah.
So I didn't do that early
on. You learned that the hard way now, right? Are they all calling you at home?
They call my cell phone, the home phone, in the morning and at night. So I think when it's all over, I may just change my home phone.
But
I'll wait a little while. You know, if it's an emergency, I don't mind. But when they're worried about when the paperwork's coming, on Sunday morning at 8 o'clock, it's like, what?
Oh, my gosh. That's not good.
Saturday night, 10:30, if someone remembered something they forgot to ask me.
Oh, no. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right. Awful. It's kind of comical,
Maybe
but it's a little.
You need to try to put some limits on that.
Yeah, put a block on those numbers that come through if that's happening late at night. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that's not appropriate.
No.
Yeah. Oh, well, whatever. Yeah, you learn late.
Yeah. Right, right.
Yeah.
Thank you, Joan.
Any questions for Joan?
Sure. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Joan.
Okay.
I'll let you go if you like.
Oh, okay. That's great. We have company. I sent the guys out.
Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry.
They're having a good time. They got their snacks and beer, so they probably don't even know I'm not there.
There you go. Well, go join them. Thank you again.
All right. Yeah. Have a good week, everybody.
Take care. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. So I'm going to move to number six, new business. 6A is approval of the capitalization policy. This is something that Janet talked to us about because it makes life easier for the audit. If you accept this policy, things that, like the only thing really that we lease that comes under this, and this would be under item number two, the cost of the asset is $5,000 or more, or multiple assets whose cost is less than $5,000, but the aggregate total is $5,000 or more are capitalized. It's the copy machine and it's the postage machine. And if we would adopt this fixed asset capitalization policy for those things, then they don't have to be considered in the audit. We don't have to pull out all the repair bills. We don't have to, you know, anything that comes up, we don't have to have the auditor deal with it. It just makes life a little bit easier. I'm sure, did you all read it? Y'all had a chance to read it?
Yes.
Okay. Any questions, discussion?
No, it looks pretty straightforward.
Yep.
Yes. She said we had six months to approve it.
Yep.
I think that's about maybe when, you know, the audit will be due. But since we're having a meeting and we're going to be doing, you know, a little voting, then I thought I would put this in.
Yep.
Do we need a motion and just get it done now? All right.
Yeah.
Bob, were you starting that?
Yes. I'll make a motion to approve the capitalization policy.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Thanks, Adam. Discussion on the motion?
I will. Okay.
Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion carries. All right, so we'll go to 6B. So you remember that one of the things HUD asked us to do was to do an RFP and look for an appropriate agency to run our Section 8 program. They allowed us to use Imagineers for 3 months in an emergent situation that started in December. We put the RFP out. Imagineers is the only one who applied. You have the packet, their packet. You have the RFP in your packet. I think they're doing an amazing job. I'm so thankful to them. And whatever we spend on it, I think is money well spent. So I'm going to open it up for discussion and thought.
I'll second your position on that, Linda. They seem to be doing an amazing job. And our other office work outside of just the Section 8 is benefiting from it as well. So
yeah,
let's stay the course.
I really appreciate them. They're working with Laura on the FSS program. They're willing to, if Ellen gets stuck on certain things, they're willing to, for no extra money, mentor Ellen a bit if she needs it. And we can talk about that a little bit farther down. But I think they've done an amazing job and we're so much better off than where we were back in December.
Good.
So may I have a motion to approve or accept Imagineers as our Section 8 provider?
I will make that motion.
Kathy, thank you. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Thank you, Bob. Discussion on the motion? Hearing none? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay. So we're going on to 6C, staffing of the maintenance program and plan to get the work accomplished. Ellen, you still there?
Ellen!
You know, that little person's is red and has got a line through it again.
Yeah.
All right. You know what? I'm going to start a little, I'm going to try to get Ellen on the phone because she's such a big part of this.
Yes.
Hi there. We lost your audio. Were you able to hear us? Okay, we couldn't hear you. So I'm going to keep, you can stay where you are, but I'm going to keep you on speakerphone. Okay, so we move to item 60, which is, 60, staffing of the maintenance program plan to get the work accomplished. You all know that Lou has resigned, and Lou handed everything in, so Lou is done. Adam and Ellen work with Anna. She's gotten a letter. She's been sent a letter as of Monday. She was sent a letter. I don't know if she's received it yet. So we haven't gotten any feedback. We didn't get any feedback on the first letter. A second letter was sent, and we haven't gotten feedback on that. That basically talks about, Adam, do you want to talk about what it says?
Sure. So, me and Ellen had a conversation about, how she wanted to manage the situation. And as you pointed out, she engaged or attempted to engage with the employee and received no reply, no response. The only thing, the last word we got from her was a text that essentially said she was on strike. So acknowledging her position as an at-will employee, but we still wanted to do our due diligence because everybody's kind of been pulling their extra weight and through our rebuilding of this housing authority. So we wanted to again extend out to her, hey, let's have a conversation about this. And as you had pointed out, she was less than responsive. So Ellen, as our manager there, has decided that she would like to move towards separating our relationship with the current management, our maintenance individual. So, having said that, I certainly support Ellen's decision given the way this has played out. And I don't know if this would be more appropriate to discuss in the executive session, but I'm happy to talk about it here.
Possibly, yeah.
Yes.
We can kick some things over. All right, so maybe we'll hold further discussion on that employee for executive session?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. So in terms of what else we've done, you know that Ellen hired, I think his name is Frank Pekarski, who does the emergency on-call and the weekend on-call. He has another job. He's got another full-time job. He was nice enough to step in and take this on, but obviously he can't stay forever. So I think part of the discussion is, do we want to put ads in the paper for new maintenance folks, or do we want to look at some kind of, a property manager? I don't know. I don't know which is more cost effective. Ellen did talk to, because we have a lot of units, and Ellen, maybe you can talk about how many. We have a lot of units that need to be turned over so that people can get in for July 1st, and if not July, then August 1st at the latest. We had a gentleman who just passed away, and his family is in the process of cleaning that out now. So she did talk to people. Ellen, can you talk about that?
I can't hear her.
Can you hear her?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Go ahead. Keep talking, Ellen. Try again.
Linda.
Yes.
She needs to call in from her phone.
Okay.
Just have her call in from her phone. If she taps on the thing on the bottom of her thing, it'll say audio, it'll say phone. She just dials in, and just like Mike did, just dial in and put the code in.
Right. She could do it.
Ellen?
She has a smartphone.
Just call in on your phone.
Just call. It doesn't need to be a smartphone. It doesn't need to be a smartphone. It just needs to be a simple thing. Dial the number, then put the code in.
Yeah, she hung up, so she's going to try. Mark, when's City Hall opening? I hate this.
It's your first run, Lynn. It'll be easier once you do it a couple times. It's
I'm sure. I'm sure.
Mike's enjoying it. Say hi, Mike.
Hi, how are you?
Very cute. At least in the kitchen, barking his head off because he wants to be out here. Can you talk about that?
Okay. So I started off with all these empty apartments. Anna was out for 2 weeks. Then she was out for another week. I said, I got to do something because we got a lot of empty apartments and we're not getting no money in them. So I called. Janet gave me three people. One of them said that they did not do that kind of work, that was too small. Hold on, I got to find paper because I got everything all over. Okay. And then a contractor came over. He said $1,300 per unit, and we supply all the materials.
Friend. Huh? That was Bob's friend, right?
That was Citywide Contractors?
That's his company.
And then I called Home Comfort. They get $145 for the first hour and $75 an hour after that. He said they don't do painting and cleaning or none of that. I mean, his ad said he did. Then I called Connecticut Handyman Rental Turnover. These are ones Janet gave me. I set up two appointments with him, and he did not show for either one. Then I called Ultimate Cleaning because time's wasting here. I called Ultimate Cleaning. She gave me estimates. So right now they are in number 11. They finished painting in there. They're just finishing up painting today in there, and they got to do all the rest of the stuff. I brought the floor guy in to see units 2, 11, and 26. He's got to do a lot in there, too. I had the Ultimate Cleaning give me estimates because they were there. I had her give me estimates on units 2 and 26, too, because I have both of them. Well, I have 26 rented for 7-1. I have 11 rented for 7-1. And number 2 is the smoke in there. The place is really bad. So she gave me an estimate on 26. She gave me an estimate on 2. Which still leaves us with Steiger Terrace with two apartments there open and one at CC Manor. So I don't know.
So I approved number 11 because it was $625, I think. Ellen, Anna had started the work, so there wasn't quite as much there, and we just needed to get it turned over. But then we need to talk about where you want to go with the rest of this.
Now, she is going to she's taking all the old toilets and sinks and whatever Anna was supposed to take to the dump, Anna never took, and it's just all over in apartments, and it's all the garbage left in there and all that. So they are going to do the dump run for that, too.
Yeah, so I think as a board, we just need to, stay a little higher level with this and say, Ellen, you know, in my conversation with her being that Anna went AWOL, and we would not have the time to effectively RFP this process to look at maybe a property management company, that she needs to be empowered to engage in a contract with someone to get this work done so we can flip these units and get them bringing money in.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially get people that are need housing in housing. So having said that, what is immediate term being that we're going outside of an RFP process and trying to respect our procurement processes as much as we can. I had Ellen go out and get quotes so we can make a responsible contract as best as possible in this short term. And then I think we as a board do need to look at engaging maybe a property management service going forward.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree. I think if we continue to put band-aids on this, Ellen's just going to continue to go crazy.
What we've been asking of her is currently unreasonable.
Yeah, so, absolutely. You
know, and so, like I said, in the short term, Ellen, we're sorry, you're going to have to bear through and flip these ones through July and August. But I think going forward, we need to put out an RFP and get a responsible party in there to service our properties, the 104 units we have.
Yeah.
Okay. I did have a question. I do have some open work orders. Now, I was just having Frank do, like, if there was an emergency in that, and then should I ask him if he could maybe come in on a Saturday so it doesn't interfere with his other job and can get these work orders done up? And I, you know, tell us whether we need a plumber for some of them because some of them are water leaks. one lady doesn't have her light over her sink, you know.
Yeah, we can't let those go. They can't sit back and wait.
But I didn't want to overstep. And then I said, let me ask the board while I have him on the phone, and I could ask him if he could come in on a Saturday and maybe look at these problems and determine whether we need an electrician before we have an electrician and plumber coming out charging us, you know.
Yes.
If he could just let us know.
Absolutely. Yes. Your concern is absolutely appropriate, Ellen.
They would go into the department, they would assess what needed to be done, they would make a list. Whatever they couldn't do, we could purchase out. But now we have nobody who's going out to even look. So you're kind of at the mercy of anybody who goes in there, because they can say, well, you need X, Y, and Z, and maybe we really don't. So if this gentleman could come in on the weekend and go and assess those apartments and put a work order, I sent you something that Lou did, a really nice checklist. Go through the checklist and see what needs to be done, and then make the recommendations to us. It'd be really helpful. And if there's easy things that he can do, then he can go in and do them on the weekend as well. At least they'll be done.
Well, yeah, I know the apartment in CC Manor needs cabinets and all that put in, because it's all rotted out on the bottom. It's a mess.
That's okay. Yeah, no, I'm going to let you handle those details, Ellen, with him. But as a board, I think we just need to empower you to engage with who you feel you need to do so to bring this project to completion. That is bringing these vacant units to tenancy. So to do so, I don't know, does anyone on the board feel we need a motion to do that right now? Because I'm happy to do something to that effect.
I think that's the best way to go, Adam. So we have a record of us all agreeing that this was the way we should move forward.
I'd like to formalize it.
Yeah, we did this for Daisy when Ellen needed help with all of the records. We just kind of brought a person in to fill in and to be that extra person.
Yeah.
And he
All right, okay. So I'll make a motion that we as a board empower Ellen to engage in contract with a contractor of her determining to fill our vacant units until August 30th, 2020?
I think that's reasonable. Ellen, what do you think?
Yes, I left that long.
Huh?
I made it that long.
You're tougher than you think.
I'll second that motion, and I'll also say you better make it that long.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
All right. Motion passed, and we can move on to 60, which is staffing of the front desk. That's resolved. Diana came back on Monday.
Good.
Happy to have her back.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah.
And last but not least, item E, discussion of how to support Ellen.
I think the idea of getting a property manager in, that's a great idea.
What are your thoughts?
Well, having Diana back certainly helps as well.
Yes.
I think when we put it on the agenda, we probably didn't know whether that was going to occur.
Mm-hmm. That's very true. So then are we done with that discussion for now?
I would think so.
Do you feel better now that Diana's back, Ellen? Does it seem a little bit more space?
Okay. Yes, if I just had maintenance, I'd be happy, happy, happy.
Well, okay. I'll make a second motion that we, as a board, do a request for proposals to engage with a property management firm in an ongoing basis.
Okay. I'll second that. We have a motion and a second. Discussion on the motion?
None.
Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion carries. Bob, do you have much experience in that, in RFP writing?
No, because we don't forget, the Ansonia agency was so much larger, we had somebody do that for us.
I know.
They don't have a property management company either. But I'm trying to think of who uses property managers that we could probably just get, you know, something that looks pretty familiar. And then we can just, you know, cut and paste something together.
I can talk to Imagineers. Maybe they know about them.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea.
We may have somebody that they use or work with landlords that use them.
Yes.
So, all right.
Does a property manager eliminate our need to have like maintenance people as well? Do they take care of all of that?
Yes. They should.
Yeah, they would.
Yeah.
Yes.
Go for it. Totally.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So now we're on to 7, subsidized housing coordinators report. Ellen, that's you.
Okay. I didn't hear you.
We're on your report.
Oh, okay.
The financial report.
Okay. The bills are all paid. Everything's here. Elderly complex. I'm leasing up 7-1. I plan to lease up at least 3 of the apartments. I just have to get them all done. So I'm going to ask the engineers to give me estimates on all the other ones so I can get these apartments leased up. I'm Section 8. They call every once in a while and ask for different things, but that's all set with them. Oh, no.
Mike, are you there?
Yes, I'm there.
Did you want to say something?
No, the only thing I should have said it before we went out before, but I was talking to Lori today, you know, from that company you're using now for 11.
Mm-hmm.
And she said she would be interested in doing the other two, but yeah, of course, I told her that'd be up to you guys, Derby Housing.
Well, we just made the motion for Ellen to make the decision on that until we can get a property manager, so. Well,
that's why I said I should have said it then.
That's okay. Never too late.
Okay. I'll let her know.
Ellen, where are you on your report? I'm having just a little bit of a hard time hearing you.
Where am I what?
Where are you on your report? I'm having a little hard time hearing you.
Oh, I'm all done.
Oh.
That was fast. Good job, Ellen.
Anybody have questions for Ellen?
Nope.
Kathy, did you have one?
I took some notes, and they seem so trivial with all the real heavy important stuff that we've been talking about. But I had a couple of questions. One was under the medical, I noticed that we had 3 people that we had paid out medical for, although one was out and we weren't sure what that situation was. So do we pay that, or does that person pay into their medical?
No, the medical is fully paid by us.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
And then I just had one other question about a plate. It was under Department of Motor Vehicle. It was a plate number. It was renewal of registration and a new plate number. Did we get a new vehicle? There were like 2 renewal of registration and 1 plate number.
No, those are our 2 trucks.
Oh, okay. All right. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know that we had 2. I thought we had 1. Okay.
No, we have 2.
All right. Yeah, no, that's it. I'm good.
Any other questions? Okay, if not, then can I have a motion to go into executive session?
I'll make that motion.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
I'll second it.
Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, so Mark, you're going to step out for a minute.
He's already.
Okay. Do we have to hang up?
No, or else we won't be able to talk to each other. We have to. I'll still be here. Mark just leaves the room.
Okay.
Oh, because Laura's on too.
Well, Laura really then should step out.
All right. So what I'll do is, Lynn, I'm going to make I'm going to make you
moderator.
I have 2 other meetings going on, so I have no idea what's going on in your meeting. So
okay,
I will just mute it and I'm going to pause the recording. So just text me on my phone and I'll go ahead.
Okay, so 6:25 and we're out of executive session. Bob, you have a motion?
Yeah, I'd like to make a motion to request ultimate cleaning until further notice to place the garbage receptacles on the curb Sunday night and to remove them on Monday.
Okay. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, motion carries. We have a motion to...
Okay, adjourn. Do you want me... Wait, one second. Do you want me to ask Frank to do it or no? I thought I was going to ask Frank on Sunday to do it. No?
Yes, that's what I thought we said. We were going to have Frank do that.
I was going to ask him, yeah, and then if he couldn't, I was going to ask Ultimate.
So okay, so Bobby, they'll have to amend the motion?
Ultimate will have to bring them in.
Right.
I'll offer an amendment that allows Ellen to engage with Frank and or Ultimate LLC as she sees fit, yes, moving forward for garbage services at our sites.
All right, and I'll second that. Discussion on the motion? As amended, hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion carries. Motion for adjournment.
I'll make a motion.
Motion to adjourn.
Okay, so I have a motion and a second. No discussion, I assume. We are adjourned 6:27. Thank you all.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks for hosting it.
See you.
Thank you, Mark.
See you, guys.